I'm Jake. I'm on staff with Crew, and I'm excited to be with you guys tonight. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to 1 Corinthians 15. But if spring break begins tomorrow, that means that spring is just around the corner. Who's excited for that? Yeah? I'm also a little bit excited. There's reasons for that, but there's also a couple reasons that I really dread springtime. The first is that I'm an undiagnosed hypohidrosionite. I made that word up. But it really, it's a fancy way of saying that I sweat a lot. And if springtime's just around the corner, it's only a matter of time before I take 10 steps from my car to Starbucks and look like I just ran a 5K. So the other reason, though, that I'm not a huge fan of spring is everything in the springtime comes to life. And when everything comes to life, something else emerges from the pits of hell. And that's allergies. And this thing on my face becomes one of two things. Either a decoration because it doesn't work, or a faucet without a shutoff valve. And if you think I'm exaggerating, just wait until spring. It's bad. But I think for most of us, we look forward to spring. And it's fun. The days get longer. Things get warmer. And it's prettier. But I really do believe that on a deep level, whether we're aware of it or not, there's another reason why spring just does something to us and in us. And it's the fact that I believe we rejoice at the sight of dead things being brought to life. I really believe that. Because I believe that there's something deep down in us that just doesn't want death to have the final word. And the good news for followers of Jesus, the one thing that sets us apart is that we believe in a God who raises the dead to life. Followers of Jesus believe that Jesus himself was crucified, buried, and risen. And before we dive in tonight, I want to just make one thing clear. There's a lot of things that are worthy of hope, but as followers of Jesus, our ultimate hope, the hope that transcends all other hope, is in the event of the resurrection of Jesus, because it changes everything. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for bringing us on the cusp of spring break, and just ask that you bless our evening tonight. I ask that you'd open our hearts, our ears, to receive your word, and pray that you would transform us. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to be in verses 12 through 19. This is Paul writing. I'm not that cruel. I'll put it on the screen for you. He says, that's not 1 Corinthians. That'd be bad. That'd be embarrassing. All right, here we go. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ hasn't been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Three things I want to take a look at tonight. One, the event of the resurrection. Two, the effects of the resurrection. And three, implications of the resurrection. Let's talk about conspiracy theories. Yeah? You guys, we've all been there. YouTube rabbit trail. 6 hours later. Shoot! Where'd the time go? Now, I'm not here to judge. We all got family who's really trying to sell you on this one thing that's kind of out there. Maybe even you are a closet conspiracy theorist, and that's okay. Let's take a look at some of the more well-known and maybe lesser-known ones. All right. We have our beloved flat earthers. Shout out to you guys. And their lesser-known cousin, the hollow earthers. Yeah, okay. Weird. Here's a good one, though. This one, I had not heard this one. Did you guys know that in 2012, the earth was swallowed by a black hole, and everything we're experiencing now is just a figment of, I don't know if it, I could say imagination, but we're dead. We just haven't realized it yet. Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, you can't forget, I don't even know, I mean, these things are there. I just haven't seen them personally, but the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot. Okay. Okay, Dylan. Why? I know it's, hey, Dylan, come on, man. Shh. You're loud. You've been loud since freshman. I'm just kidding. Why am I mentioning these things? Have you ever sat and thought about what we actually confess as Christians? We believe a man lived for 33 years, absolutely perfect inside and out. Even though he was perfect, he didn't get married. That's crazy. Although he was perfect, treated everyone how they deserved to be treated, he was brutally put to death. Plot twist. He rose from the dead, never to taste death again. And I forgot to mention that this man, fully man, also at the same time, somehow, some way, fully God. And now he's seated at the right hand of this God that we call Heavenly Father. And one day, he'll come back again. That's what we believe. And I think it's safe to say that some people might think that what we believe to be true is no different than the things we just saw up there. But I really disagree. I believe in the Loch Ness Monster. But I've never met a Loch Ness Nessie believer that would die, that would stake their life on its existence. But do you guys know what the first eyewitnesses of the risen Christ went on to do? Many of them put to death because of their belief, not just in a guy named Jesus, because that was a pretty known well fact at the time. It was their belief in his resurrection because it meant something significant, something otherworldly. But not just the eyewitnesses went on to die, but the people that they told about this Jesus would go on to experience a tremendous amount of persecution, and many of them put to death for their belief in the resurrection of Jesus, fully God and fully man. There's something fundamentally different about the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And I mention those things together because they go together. That sets it apart from not just these other wild thoughts, but sets it apart from every other event in human history. For followers of Jesus, ever since the beginning, the resurrection is something that they were willing to die for, and they were willing to die for it because it was true, and they believed that because it was true, death was absolutely nothing to be feared. And so the resurrection, the event of the resurrection, not only is it the beginning of our Christian faith, of the church, not only is it the reason that we're here tonight, gathered together, but the event, Scripture tells us more than 500 people witnessed this. It's unlike anything else in human history, and people were willing and are still willing to die for this truth that Jesus is risen. Looking at the effects of the resurrection. For us, with our job, we get to share the gospel with a lot of different people. And I always look forward to asking about what's the significance of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. Why is that significant? And it's pretty common that I hear the answer, well, Jesus' death and resurrection, they're examples of God's love for us. His death shows his love for God, and you know, he was obedient. And his resurrection shows that God loves him. And really, what these people are saying, whether they're aware of it or not, is that Jesus came to show us how to live life and how to live a good life, how to live a righteous life. And his death and burial and resurrection are just a natural byproduct of absolute obedience to God. In a sense, Jesus is a moral example to follow. Another thought that's not all that uncommon when I ask about the resurrection is that Jesus, he actually came to triumph over the evil powers of the world. He lived, he was crucified, buried, resurrected, so that he could put Satan to shame. Satan, evil, they've lost the war. And what these people touch on is that there is a war being waged, and it's not against flesh and blood. And so Jesus came, died, buried, resurrected. He did those things because this war couldn't be fought by us. It needed some divine reinforcement. And Jesus himself was that divine reinforcement. And while there's parts of these views of the resurrection that I would certainly affirm, they leave one very important, very big stone left unturned. Really big. Huge. Look at the text. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. What the two views I just talked about leave out completely do not address is that there's an issue each and every one of us has, and it's sin. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. That means somebody had to die. And the main focal point of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ is that our place has been taken. And the resurrection is proof that the payment has been accepted. The sacrifice of God's only Son and the resurrection that followed is the only reason we believe that we are forgiven and stand righteous before God. If you are here tonight and you have placed your faith in Christ, you are forgiven. The one thing that you yourself could not accomplish has been done for you. In Jesus, we have more than an example. We have more than a superhero who conquered Satan and sin and death. We have forgiveness. We've been credited with Jesus' life that we could not live, and credited with a death that we did not die. And there's one response to that that's appropriate, and that's pure rejoicing. The effects of the resurrection? Forgiveness. It's available to us. Satan, sin, death, they have in fact been conquered. And we do have hope. Because of the resurrection, we have hope. And we believe that we too one day will be resurrected. Water break. I was going to bring a stool up here, but I forgot. All right. The implications. What's it mean? How could an event that happened, I mean, seriously, how could an event that happened 2,000 years ago, an event that accomplished something no one in this room could accomplish, how does that have anything to do with how I go about my everyday life? It has everything to do with how you go about your everyday life. It truly changes everything. Because look at what Paul has to say. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. How in the world can Paul say something like this? Because I've had the thought, if I come to the end of my life and this all turns out to be a sham, at least I'll be able to look back on my life and say, well, I did good things. I treated others well or as best as I could, and I was a, I don't know, 65% good dude. I pretty happy with that. WWJD, I did it. What's wrong with that? I'd say it's a noble thought, but Paul is writing to a group of people who know exactly what they signed up for. And that is a life of sacrifice, persecution, and as we already talked about, for a lot of them, death. If the resurrection didn't happen, everything we stand for falls apart. If the resurrection didn't happen, every person who has ever died for the sake of the gospel has died for no reason. Every single sacrifice big or small, that has ever been made for the sake of the gospel has been for absolutely nothing. And so, I just want to ask the question. How about your life? If in the end, somehow, we all find out this is a hoax, would the world look at you and feel tremendous pity because of how you lived your life? Would they laugh at you because you staked everything? Job, family, location, decisions, friendships, relationships. You literally staked everything, all eggs in one basket, on the fact that Jesus is crucified, buried, and risen. Would people mock you because you chose to live a life of holiness when the entire time you could have been doing whatever the heck you wanted with little to no punishment or penalty? You know the answer to that question. I'm not here to tell you what your answer is. But if it's no, I want you to know one thing. Jesus is risen. And his grace and his forgiveness did not end at the cross. Believe it or not, his grace and his forgiveness did not end in 2012 when we got swallowed up by a black hole. His grace and forgiveness have still not come to an end. It's never too late to turn back to Jesus or come to Jesus because he did it all. But please do not let another moment go by where the resurrection of Jesus does not change or at least begin to change your life and stir your heart and affections for a life of following Jesus. And if your answer to that question is yes, yes, I am a fool in the eyes of the world because of my belief in Christ. I have given up whatever I felt like God has called me to give up because of my faith in Christ. And I, by God's grace, will continue to follow him and give up what God has called me to give up. If that is your answer, keep going. Keep running. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Do not lose sight of Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because that is what we have to do. And if you find it hard, that's why we're in it together. It's not a solo mission, the Christian life. We have each other. We have God's word. God has poured out in his superabundance his spirit to those of us who have placed our faith in Christ. We are not alone, not even in the slightest. Keep running. It's worth it because the resurrection of Jesus. Death just doesn't win. Let me close us in prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for absolutely everything that you did, so that we may experience life in and through you. Pray that you would strengthen us, enable us to walk with you, follow you. Just pray that the resurrection of your Son would occupy greater space in our minds and our hearts and truly transform our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.